Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Collecting Keys Friday Focus. You have me as your host today, Dan Austin, and we are doing a deal case study with one of our scale community members, Eric Klun, Klun Like Fun. And that's him telling me that. I didn't make up that whole little mnemonic there, but now I'm never going to forget his name, and either will you. Eric is actually a repeat guest. He's coming back on. One of his first deal case studies he did with us was a slam dunk textbook wholesale deal. Today's that he's going to talk about is not so textbook. Eric, for those of you that do not know you or don't remember your episode, can you give us the 60-second elevator pitch of like who you are and where your business is at?
Well, hey, Dan. Thanks for having me back. So yeah, my name's Eric Klun. So I left my W-2 job a while back. I started my own business doing mobile notary services. Realized I kind of reached a financial ceiling with that, that I wanted to reach out and start doing some real estate and wholesaling deals. I had some friends doing the same, making a little bit of money. Found you all. Then I started on your program and ran in, got my first deal, which we talked about on the last episode. And then this one came across a different one around the same time. I had a couple more challenges with this one.
Right on. And so you've been in our scale community at the time we're recording this about 6 months. So you really are like new to real estate, new to wholesaling. Yes, let's dive in. We're going to talk about the same four questions that we ask every time. And the first question is, what kind of property is this?
Oh, so this is a single family home. It's 4 beds, 2 baths.
Oh, okay. 4 bed, 2 bath. So this is a little more modern maybe than the last one. The last one was an older house. So is this like a newer home? What are we looking at as a split level?
Not newer. It had an addition on it. Yeah. It had a really strange addition. There was a second living room that was added. So there were 2 front doors, 2 living rooms, and then they kind of redid an upstairs area, creating a whole bunch of new square footage, extra bedrooms, extra bathrooms.
Mm. So a real custom home, so to speak. You run into that a lot. The reason why I asked, like, kind of like dig in a little bit deeper of what kind of property is because oftentimes you're not finding the perfect 3 bed, 2 bath ranch or built in a cul-de-sac like that. Those do happen, but sometimes you find these funky properties and there's still money to be made on them. So how did you find this deal?
So this was a direct mail that I had sent out. So this was a first batch again that went out with the ROS postcards with the offer on it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an absentee landlord with equity.
Okay. Yeah. So the offer postcards that we use in our community and we use them ourselves like an open letter marketing product. They call it the ROS postcard, which is a postcard that just has an actual offer on it. They have an algorithm on there. They're never really accurate, but they're a great conversation starter. As Eric knows, you usually get a really good response rate on those. Sometimes people are upset because the offer is low. Sometimes people are ecstatic because the offer is high. I always tell people, don't let the offer on the card influence you or anything that the seller says influence you. You still got to calculate your numbers. So, okay. So you found it using direct mail and then you said, okay, what is the seller profile? What list did you say you got it on?
So it was absentee with equity.
Okay. So a high equity and absentee typically is just like a landlord, right? And that's, I'm assuming this the case here.
Yeah. He had like a friend slash tenant that was staying in the house type thing. And then he lived there once in a while, like weekends. He worked out of the area and then would kind of just come back and live there. He kept his motorcycles in the garage, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not an uncommon situation, obviously unique to this situation, but there's always these kind of oddball situations with people's housing. Okay. So let's talk about the story. Let's start from the beginning, when the lead came in. And I know this is kind of an interesting one and it's one that you had to work on. So let's start. What did that first initial call look like and your follow-up?
So he called me up. He was very motivated to sell. He had been divorced, I think, some time ago. And then he was interested in just getting rid of this property. And then he wanted to get down south, and just get out of Wisconsin generally.
Yep.
So he was very eager to go. So I set up an appointment and got out there, worked everything out with his tenant. I established a really good rapport with her so I could visit the house a couple different times. So I was able to get out there, get a bunch of pictures taken, and then get him an offer. And then he was immediately, missed by the offer. In his mind, he was like, oh, houses in my area are going for, $300, $315. And I was like, I can do 125. And then he came way down on his number to like 200.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I said to him, I said, well, I mean, I was like, that's my offer. I was like, I wish you good luck. I referred him, some realtor information and things like that. And then he immediately texted back and he's like, I'll take it. And so I was like, okay. And so that was something that, I had heard, in the group chats with you and Mike about doing the pullback to not aggressively sell as much and just kind of just pull back and let them know like, hey, have a nice day, and then just let them know that my offer still stands. Like I said, he texted me right back and said, I'll take it. So I was like, all right.
Man, that is awesome. I really enjoy, Eric, you talked about this on your last episode. It's like, you're just following the blueprint, like the textbook stuff, like, hey, when this situation happens, try this. When this situation happens, try that. And so the pullback method is a great sales tactic when you're coming in, and oftentimes you are going to be lower than the seller. And if they're way off and there's nowhere, you know, there's no like, oh, meet in the middle feeling right then and there, just pull back and say, hey, that's awesome. You know, my number is my number, and kind of just sit back. You're going to follow up with them if they don't call you back, right? Eventually they'll get back in your follow-up loop, and you may have to do more aggressive follow-up, and it might take a lot longer. And a year later, you're negotiating with this guy again. But for you, the case, the pullback worked immediately. And basically he called back and he's like, fine, I'll take it. He knew, and oftentimes they do, that they're way overpriced on what they're trying to sell. And it sounds like that was the case. So from there, he calls back, says, I'll take it. Yeah, you know, you sent him a contract, he signed it like that day, or how did that work?
Yeah, that's how he actually signed it on Christmas Day, which was funny. It was 10 a.m. I had it out to him on the 21st. And then, you know, Christmas morning, kids are opening Christmas presents. And then I got, you know, PSA signed.
What a great Christmas present for you.
Right.
I mean, that speaks to also a lot of wholesalers and just businesses, people in general, will shut down during the holidays, and you're out there signing contracts. Mike and I are huge proponents for, don't stop your marketing, don't stop your lead follow-up, work things through the holidays, because everybody else wants to take the end of the year off. And that's when there are sellers that are motivated and want to leave, want to move right away, have issues that they need to get handled. They don't stop for the holidays. So if you're the person right there in front of them, you're likely the one that's going to get the deal. So nice job on that. So I know there's more drama. It's not going to be this easy, right? So what happens after that? You get it in contract and you throw it in escrow. What's the story here?
So the same buyer that I mentioned in the last one buys a lot of properties in my area. Right at the same time, he's messaging me like, hey, what do you got for me? So he sends his contractor crew out. I walk the property again with the tenant. They get all their measurements. They're able to get me a good solid number, which gets me, you know, a small spread there. And then so I get my assignment contract signed, and then I get this thing to escrow, hits escrow, and then come to find out this guy's got 8 judgments out there against him.
Nice.
Right, exactly. And then he told the escrow agent that he was just going to deed the property away and then leave, and then that wouldn't affect him. And, you know, everybody had to explain to him, like, that's not how that works. So evidently he's the type of guy that's just like, sort of, you know, run up a bunch of debts and then, you know, never pay him off, but that stuff tracks it down.
Yeah, that's why he wants to get out of town fast. Huh?
Right, exactly. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So, you know, I advised him, I said, hey, you know, best case scenario is you get all these payoffs taken care of, and then you get a large chunk of change, and then you get down south and you'll be sitting on your boat in the lake in no time. And then, you know, he was down with that. So he was starting to drag his feet a lot, getting these judgments paid off, getting the account numbers and the payoff demand statements from all these creditors. And then I jumped in and I was like, give me your account numbers, give me these phone numbers, I'm going to start facilitating this process for you.
Why did he do that? Was he not doing it well enough, or were you trying to work up against a certain date? Why did you decide to jump in and do that?
Well, I mean, I want to make money, so there's that.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, he was dragging his feet because it takes work. You know what I mean? Because I don't like getting on the phone.
Totally.
I don't like getting on the phone, waiting on hold, you know, talking to this friend. And then he had to do it 8 times. So I got him motivated to do that. He actually ended up doing it on his own a lot. And then there was certain paperwork that I needed to have him sign.
Uh-huh.
He's not real good at, you know, sign this, sign that. And we're like, he's all the way across the state at this point. So I'm actually like setting up appointments for him to like go to a local print shop where he can receive the documents. The employees there can help him like print the documents out. He can sign them and then scan them back in and get them back into escrow. And then I just got an email just before we got on this call, Dan, that we are clear to close.
That's awesome. And so this is where it gets a little tricky, and where you have to earn your money is, you know, the reason why I ask you about you getting on and calling the creditors, if that's what it takes, then do it. Because sometimes the sellers aren't capable of doing that. And sometimes that's honestly probably why they have some of these bills outstanding still, because like they've gave up. They're like, I can't figure it out. It's not fun calling creditors. It's not usually easy trying to get through customer service and talk to somebody, especially if the account's past due and all these situations. Sometimes they can make it hard to pay it off, which is so surprising. And so sometimes you have to put in the legwork and do the right thing. And I love the fact that you were having to send the contract to a print shop in another part of the state and help this person out. Because the second thing is a lot of these times your sellers, the technology is just not there. And so you have to meet them where they're at, you know, physically and technically, whatever. So push that paperwork to somebody that can print it, tell them, show up at this location. We've had guys that have to go to the bar and track down sellers at like 8 o'clock at night to get a contract signed. Meet them where they're at sometimes, right? And so that's honestly how we earn our money too. A lot of people say like, oh, it's super easy to wholesale properties. Like, yeah, some of them. But a lot of times it's really hard because you're having to help these folks get through something that they otherwise couldn't get through without somebody holding their hand. And let's be honest, not a lot of people are willing to put their legwork in. They'll just throw their hands up and say, this is not worth my time, because your net on this actually wasn't a lot. What was your net on the wholesale fee?
It was $5,000. It's like you just said, like, I can do the work and make $5,000, or I can not do the work and not make it. So
totally. Right. And you have to value your time, but also you have to feed your business. And, you know, $5,000 is not a terrible wholesale deal or wholesale fee, right? It's not that bad. And especially because this is off your first batch of mail, you had already sold the deal before this. And so this is just another deal adding to the overall profitability of your marketing campaign. Some are going to be huge. You're going to get these big, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 wholesale fees, sometimes are bigger, and some are going to be these $5,000. Sometimes every once in a while it's $2,000, but $2,000 is better than nothing. And the thing I chuckle about is sometimes the hardest ones are always the ones that pay the least amount. And you're like, but hey, you're making money. If you're making money, it's hard to go broke. So any other like learning lessons or points to be made on this deal that you would share with the audience?
I would just say to just kind of weigh everything out and just do the work, just kind of put it in. Yeah.
I like that. And being willing, I love how you were just being willing to put in the effort to help this guy sell his property, to get him through escrow. Yeah, you are motivated, but it's also good because otherwise, who knows what's going to happen to these people when they can't figure it out. They can't do it. It's just going to keep going on and on and on, and what their financial situation could get worse. So nice job on that, Eric. I appreciate you coming on. If somebody happens to want to do business in the Southern Wisconsin area, can they reach out to you?
Yeah, you can just hit me up my email. So it's eclunn@gmail.com. So that's eclunn@gmail.com.
Awesome. Yeah. If you're looking to be added to Eric's buyers list, or maybe you have deals, shoot Eric an email. That I'm sure he's happy to help do business with you. He's an awesome dude. I know Eric personally, and he's a good guy to work with. So with that being said, if you're interested in doing what Eric's doing and you're already doing some deals and you want to scale to the next level, get your business from 1 to 2 deals a month to 3 to 4 deals a month or more, go to collectingkeys.com/scale and check out our scale community there and see if you're a good fit for it. If you're not even started yet, go to collectingkeys.com/instant investor program and check out our course. We've spun out our coursework from the scale community and made it its own end-to-end, you know, do-it-yourself course where you can kind of watch it at your leisure and learn how to find these deals that Eric's finding, learn how to wholesale, learn how to build your buyer's list, everything you need to know to become an off-market expert. Other than that, have a great weekend, and we will see you all next week.